This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Amen. We have a word from the Lord for you this morning, and it is found in Mark 5, is verses 25 through 34, and I am going to read from the King James Version. You know, King James is not an easy version to read from, but I'm going to read this from King James Version because that's what the Lord told me to do. And here it goes. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I will be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, thou seest this multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And then in Matthew 9, 20 through 21, it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if I may touch his garment, I will be whole. Amen. Pray with me for a moment, won't you? Lord God, we come to you because we need you. We come to you, O God, because we know that you have all power in your hands. We know that, God, that you are a God that hears and answers prayers. And, O God, we need you to hear us today. So we look to you, O God, for a word. We look to you, O God, for peace. We look to you, O God, with open hearts and open ears to be not just hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. And I pray right now, and I humbly admit, O God, that I need thee. Oh, how I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So, oh, bless me now, my Savior. For I come to thee. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for speaking boldly through me what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I had in my heart to sing that song, but I can't hear the singing, so I said it. I need thee, oh, I need thee. So I want to talk this morning on the topic of audacious faith. Audacious faith. When you read the book of Mark, you will find that there are many miracles recorded in the book of Mark. In this very chapter, chapter 5, it starts with a demon-possessed man who runs to Jesus because he needs to be cleansed of his possession. And in the story, Jesus cleanses him of his possession, sends him back home, clothed and in his right mind. And though he wants to continue to follow Jesus, Jesus said, no, you go back home because I need you to be a witness, not only in your hometown, but I'm sending you to 10 cities for you to tell everyone what I have done. That's the first thing. And then the second miracle that we see in here is that Jairus, a ruler in the synagogue, came to Jesus asking him to heal his 12-year-old daughter who was on her sickbed, almost dead. And Jesus, the Son of God, says, okay, I'm going to go to your house. The third thing that happened, in the midst of Jesus' travel to Jairus' house, there came a woman with an issue of blood that had been suffering for 12 long years. Now, listen to these quotes. Faith, I'm talking about audacious faith today. Faith is to believe what you do not see. It is the reward of this faith is what you see is you believe. Amen. Let me say that again. Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. And St. Augustine said that, a 5th century theologian and philosopher. And then Dr. Martin Luther King says, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. And then finally, Margaret Shepherd says, sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith. And I think this last quote aptly describes the audacious faith of the woman in this text, because she took a leap of faith. This woman said to herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And I want you to listen to that, because she was sure of what she was thinking. She said it to herself. So my first point is this, that faith says what it believes. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, to watch what you say, because your words can produce your world. Amen. So when you talk about yourself in a negative way and negative things are happening to you, think about the fact that you called all of that negative into your life based upon the words you said. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. The most important conversation, brothers and sisters, that you will ever have is the conversation you have with yourself. Yeah, the most important conversation that you will ever have is the conversation that you have with yourself. You know, because if you don't tell yourself who you are, somebody else will tell you who you are. Amen. And you got to pay attention not only to the voices outside of you, but to the voices inside your head. I don't know about you, but some mornings I wake up and I hear all of the things that I need to do that I didn't do, and all the troubles of the world in my life. Sometimes I wake up with those thoughts in my mind. I know none of you do, but I do. And you know what I have to do? I have to immediately cast that aside and say something like, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I have to say to those thoughts what Jesus tells me to say to those thoughts. I've got to follow what Jesus said when Satan came to tempt him to eat the bread, to jump off the mountain. He said, it is written. And he just spoke the word to Satan, and Satan had to move. So that's a word to you, my brothers and sisters, this morning. When you wake up in the morning and all of the negatives are coming in your mind, please don't speak them out of your mouth. Don't draw all of that stuff into your life. Amen. So pay attention to what's inside of your head, and pay attention to what you say to yourself about yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't say to yourself that I am sick, I am diseased, I have a headache, I am tired, I am all of, you know what we say to ourselves, and we say it out loud, and then your body starts reacting to that. So I want you to pay attention to what you say to yourself about yourself. And I'm not saying that those things are not real, that your body doesn't ache, your head doesn't hurt, and all of those things. It's a fact. But you can't let that drive you. Okay, somebody heard it. But the scripture says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, you can speak life to your life, or you can speak death to your life. Boy, what a power God has given us in the words we speak. So not only do you speak life to yourself, but speak life to others. Amen. If somebody is looking tired, don't say, boy, you look tired. Amen. Say, God bless you, brothers and sisters. I hope your day goes better. Because you may see that they're tired. So life and death, brothers and sisters, is in the power of the tongue. But this woman talked to herself. You know, sometimes people think that you're crazy when you talk to yourself. But I am so sure that everybody in this room talks to themselves every now and then. Because sometimes you just need to talk to an intelligent person. And since your self is intelligent, you need to talk to an intelligent person. So you need to talk to yourself. So this woman said it to herself, and I love her because she seems like she was not in a situation to speak a word of faith, which is why I call her faith audacious. The text doesn't tell us a lot about her. It doesn't tell us about her family. It doesn't tell us whether or not she's a widow. It doesn't tell us the source of her wealth. It doesn't tell us anything like that about her. But it does tell us that she had an issue of blood for 12 years, that she had spent all the money she had with doctors looking for a cure, but none of them could cure her. She did not, like we do today, have all the conveniences of medicine where we can go to the hospital and we can take all kinds of tests and we can get a diagnosis and we could probably get something, if it doesn't cure it, something to help us. No, she didn't have all of that. So she went from doctor to doctor to doctor, and according to the text, she didn't get better. She grew worse. And let me tell you something about doctors. They say doctors practice medicine. And doctors are practicing medicine on you and me. Hallelujah. So when you go into your doctor's office, you go in there by faith in Jesus' name. And you, the doctor, and Jesus will guide the hands of the doctor. So our faith cannot be in our doctor, but our faith can be in God who created the doctor and gave that doctor the wisdom that they had and lead that doctor to do the right thing by you. Do you believe that? Amen. So, this woman had been bleeding for 12 years. And bleeding for 12 years is a long time. And being a woman who has been through life cycle, I can tell you that that's not a very favorable time of the month with many women. But this woman had been bleeding for 12 years. She was broke and she was broken. This woman was desperate for a cure. She was a woman, which means that she was a second-class citizen in her society. And this text does not give her a name. She was just a part of the crowd. And she was marginalized by no fault of her own because she had a health issue. And this woman, according to Levitical law, was unclean. She was like a leper. And in those times, brothers and sisters, if you had leprosy, you were to walk through the city and cry out the word, leper. Leper, leper, because no one should touch you because you were unclean. This woman was in an unclean state. And in Leviticus, let me tell you why. Leviticus 15, 24 through 27 says this. If a woman has a flow of blood for many days that is unrelated to her menstrual period, or if the blood continues beyond the normal period, she is ceremonially unclean. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. The scripture tells us that she is ceremonially unclean. As during her menstrual period, the woman will be unclean as long as the discharge continues. So for 12 years, she has been unclean. And the bed she lies on and any object she sits on during that time, she will be unclean. And just as during her normal period, she's unclean. And anyone touches these things, they will be ceremonially unclean. And this woman was in the midst of a crowd with her unclean self. And despite Levitical law, she pressed her way through the crowd. And she had no business being in that crowd because she was unclean. My first point is faith says what it believes. The second point is faith says and faith acts. According to James 2:20, faith without works is dead. Amen. So if you tell me that you have faith, I need to see your works. Not me, but you. Amen. And God needs to see your works. I don't want you to miss the fact that this woman pressed behind and touched his garment. And I don't want you to miss the word press, because it's key in the text. As I told you, she had no reason or no right to be in this crowd because she was ceremonially unclean. That meant that whoever she touched was ceremonially unclean. But she pressed through the crowd anyway. And after 12 years of flow, you got to know that this woman was extremely weak. She was extremely anemic. So she didn't have a whole lot of strength. And perhaps she was walking, but I doubt it. Because when you're that weak and that anemic, it's really difficult to take a step. But although she was not walking, she was walking by faith and not by sight. Amen. Because her faith told her that if I can touch him, I'll be made whole. But her sight was that she was bleeding for 12 years. Or could it be, brothers and sisters, that this woman was not walking, but maybe she was crawling through the crowd? Maybe that's why her aim was to touch the hem of his garment, because she was at the bottom of the crowd. And so she said to herself, as she's crawling through the crowd, and that's what the visual I get of her, because she's weak, crawling through that crowd, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the thing I love about this passage is, in order for her to touch the hem, she had to go low. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we've got to go low in humility in order for God to bring us up high. Oh my God, there is nothing like being humble before the Lord. And can I tell you this also? She was at the Lord's feet. And I can tell you that, brothers and sisters, there is no higher place than at the feet of the Lord. Can I say that again? There is no higher place than at the feet of the Lord. So when you're down and out, go to the Lord in prayer. Humble yourself before him and watch God do something in your life. Amen. I heard you, sister. She said, yes, he will. This woman had heard about Jesus, and because of what she had heard, see, she had heard that Jesus was healing sick people. She had heard that he was giving sight to the blind. She had heard that he had cleansed lepers. She had heard that he was raising folks from the dead. She had heard about all the miracles that Jesus had performed. And she said to herself, if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. Amen. And I love it that there is nothing too hard for our God. And this woman knew that she had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And that has to be our place in this world. Coming to Jesus, brothers and sisters, you have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Can I tell you a little about Jesus? He is the Son of God. He was there in the beginning, according to John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. And he was the light of the world. But the world did not comprehend him. Can I tell you something about Jesus? He was Mary's baby. Amen. That he came here on this earth to die for us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus. So when you come to Jesus, you have nothing to lose. And if Jesus can touch a woman. And see, the thing of it is, brothers and sisters, when we look at these Bible stories, we think that was them. But I love it that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That whenever you come to Jesus, he's going to honor your faith. Can I tell you this? That all things are possible to them that believe according to the scripture. Can I tell you this? That God is no respecter of people, but God is a respecter of faith. Yeah, he's not a respecter of people. I don't care who you are. But if you have faith in him, oh, God, you'll move the hand of God. God respects faith. And God is our only hope, for real. When we look at the condition of this world, We've got to know that God is our only hope. When we look at the people in Washington trying to solve all the problems of this world, the people all over this, the leaders all over this world coming up with a plan, we've got to know that these men don't know what they're doing, because we are in war all over this world and people being persecuted all over this world. And we got a whole lot of isms all over this world. Can I tell you about the isms? We've got elitism. We've got classism. We've got sexism. We've got racism. We got socialism. We got denominationalism. We got materialism. We got favoritism. We got all of those isms at work in our world. We got political unrest. We got social unrest. We got wars throughout the world. We got every manner of evil. And there was only one person that when he died and he got up again, he claimed the keys to hell, death, and destruction. And he said that all power is in my hand. So let me tell you, it looks like God is out of control, but can I tell you that God is in total control, that he sees everything is happening. We don't know why he hasn't moved, why he hasn't acted, but God has a reason for everything he does. Perhaps he wants us to look to him, brothers and sisters, to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Perhaps that's why he hasn't moved yet, but I can tell you this, what God wants us as believers in this earth, I can tell you that we are placed in this earth to be intercessors for everything that goes on in this world. If you are not praying for government, you are not believing in God. If you're not praying for our government leaders, you're not believing in God. If you're not praying against hatred and strife and racism and all of them isms that I just named, oh my God, brothers and sisters, you're missing your mark as a Christian in Christ. That's why he saved us, not so we could go to heaven, but he saved us so we could represent him on this earth. And when we pray according to the scripture, he will hear us. What is my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. He said, I will hear from heaven and I will hear their land, heal their land. God is waiting for us to do what he called the church to do. And the church is not a building, brothers and sisters. The church is us, you and me. And if you are a Christian, oh my God, you have great responsibility. See, we pray and ask God to do everything. But we've got to know that this is a cooperative faith. We have to cooperate with God. Just like we have expectations of him, God has expectations of us. I know we don't believe it, but that is true. And if you're reading your Bible, you will see what God has called us to do. He called us to be a light in this world. He called us to be salt in this world. And he said, if the salt loses its savor, then there is no seasoning. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I believe the church has lost its seasoning, because it is doing, even the church, brothers and sisters, have forgotten about people and are more interested in politics. They've forgotten about the people and they're more interested in power. Those people who say that they are called by the name of Jesus are no longer hearing from Jesus. They're listening to leaders. They're looking for power. They want some kind of authority. And so they're following people and not the God of all power. Oh my God. Hallelujah. If my people... Oh my God, he took me in that direction and I thank him. But an audacious faith. God gave each one of us as believers, according to the scripture, a measure of faith. Everybody's got a measure of faith. And if you're a Christian, you have a gift. And with that measure of faith, this is what Jesus said. Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believe what he says, it will be done. Wow. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? That is Matthew 25, 22, and 23. That you and me, it's incredible that you and me have the power to move mountains. Oh my God. If we would but believe that we can move mountains, we would revolutionize this world. If you are praying for peace, God called you to be a peacemaker. And let me tell you something about that peacemaking. Sometimes in order to be a peacemaker, you have to disrupt things. You can't gloss over things and pretend that they're not there, and just because you think you're holding on to peace. Because if there are things that need to be said, if you need to confront some issues, after you confront the issues, then you can have peace. God called us to be peacemakers, which means that we have to disrupt some things sometimes. I know you don't believe it. What's she talking about? I'm talking about Jesus, y'all. But that's the reason, this is what my pastor would say around about now, that Jesus died. Didn't he die? He was there all night Friday, all night Saturday. But early on Sunday morning, he got up. And he got up with all power in his hands. And then what he did, he said to his disciples, I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The creator of all things, brothers and sisters, gave you and me power over all the power of the enemy. You know who the enemy is? But the enemy works through people. Amen. Just like God works through people. And God wants to work through you and me to get his work done here on earth. I have three things I want to say. First of all, faith says what it believes. Secondly, faith says and faith acts. And then finally, faith activates the power of God in your life. So have you any mountains that you think are uncrossable? Or have you any rivers that you cannot tunnel, any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? Can I tell you that God specializes in things that are impossible, and he can do what no other power can do? So there are mountains in your life that God wants to move because he doesn't want you burdened down, and he wants to move your mountains. But God needs you to have faith, have the kind of audacious, bold faith. That's what audacious means. It means bold and fearless. It means the kind of faith that in the face of adversity, it stands strong. Yeah, that's bold faith. And God needs us to have that kind of faith today in this world. Do you believe it? If you believe it, would you put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise? I thank God for the word today. Lord, I thank you for every ear that heard your word today. And my prayer is that somebody that heard it will not only hear, maybe they heard it for the first time, maybe not. Maybe they have heard it again and again, have not decided to take on that faith that you've put in each of our hearts. But I pray, oh God, that we will take up the audacious faith that you've given each of us. That as we continue to pray about our lives and about the lives of others and about our world, that you would move, God, because we know that you're a God that hears and answers the prayers of your children. God, we thank you today. We thank you for every life. We bless you and praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say thank you. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'd like to give you an opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. He says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation is made by the words that you say. So, brothers and sisters, I have this prayer. And if you, even if you have received salvation, it won't hurt a bit to repeat after me and ask the Lord for salvation. It says this, repeat after me, please. Father, I've sinned. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sin and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be who you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, O God, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can come forth, if you will. We have deacons that are standing that will receive you here at First African Baptist Church. If you prayed that prayer online, would you just type in the comments, saved, I'm saved. Just type that in the comments. But we want to give you a moment, just a moment, just a moment to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Amen, I believe, don't you? Once again, brothers and sisters, God bless you for being here today. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Bow your heads with me for a word of prayer and a benediction. Father, once again, thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. We thank you for your word, young God. So as we leave this place, my benediction is this to your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.